Vicente Montoya for Petitioner. And, Your Honors, I would defer to the Court to ask me questions concerning this application, this petition for review, and I will respond to those questions.
Let me ask you this. Do you agree that the asylum applicant must establish by clear and convincing evidence the application was filed within 1 year after her arrival in the United States?
Yes, I agree that that is the law of the land and that a petitioner, a respondent, must substantiate that they entered the United States within 1 year of the application.
And the immigration judge determined that she had not carried that burden?
The immigration judge did determine that, Your Honor.
All right. The government had not challenged that until the day of the hearing, as I understand.
Excuse me?
The government had not challenged her statement when she came in until the day of the hearing. Is that correct?
Your Honor, the at the initial date of hearing, the allegations that were charged against the respondent was that she entered on a specific date, and that date was December in 2003. The respondent admitted the allegations and also conceded removability, and the judge made a determination by clear and convincing evidence that she was in fact removable based on that charge. So there was an initial finding in a hearing that was on November, that was not on November 30th, it was on May 7th, 2004. There was a determination that my client had entered on a specific date, which was December 16th, 2003. Subsequently, November 30th, right, 2004, at the individual hearing, the government counsel substituted the allegation and contended that my client came in at a date and time unknown. And our contention is that the initial allegation was true and correct. It was admitted and conceded, and that the judge then found that my client was deportable, was removable by clear and convincing evidence. And that admission should stand, that finding should stand. And with that basis, clearly my client had applied for asylum within 1 year.
The government, by amending, is allowed to amend, right? The government's allowed to amend.
Correct, Your Honor. The government is allowed to amend.
So by amending, they challenged her claim that she had been here since December, or she had filed her application in December.
That is correct, Your Honor.
If he makes a factual finding, then do we lack jurisdiction to review that determination under 8 U.S.C. 1158, that no court shall have jurisdiction to review any determination of the Attorney General?
Your Honor, I think that the further question should actually be whether or not there is any authority of the immigration judge to set aside his finding. There is no authority that I am able to find within the CFRs to allow the judge to set aside the initial findings that there was a clear and convincing determination that my client was removable.
You speak of a finding.
I don't know what
finding you're talking about. The DHS originally claimed that she entered the United States on December 16, 2003. She admitted the allegation. Then later the DHS changed its position. But what finding are you referring to?
Your Honor, at the time of that hearing where she admitted and conceded, there was a determination made by the immigration judge that she was removable by clear and convincing evidence.
And where do you find that in the record?
Your Honor,
I'm not familiar with anything like that in the record. If there is something, I'd like to see it. But otherwise, it seems as was previously mentioned, that the DHS made an allegation. Your client admitted it. The DHS changed its position. So you have controverted facts at that point. And your client came forward with no contravening evidence to show an exact date of entry. Is that correct?
No, Your Honor, that is not correct.
Okay.
At the initial hearing where one must plead to the allegations,
right.
The judge, after making those pleadings, the judge made a determination that the client was removable by clear and convincing evidence. I don't have that citation in front of me, Your Honor, but that is...
What was removable?
Pardon me?
You said was removable?
Removable.
I thought we were talking about the asylum count now. We're talking...
Your Honor, the allegation for the initial allegation of putting my client into proceeding
right.
was that she had entered in December, and she admitted to that allegation at the initial hearing.
Mm-hmm.
And when she admitted to that factual allegation, she also conceded that she was removable
right.
for having
okay.
entered. And at that hearing, the judge then found her removable by clear and convincing evidence at that hearing on May 7, 2004. That was the initial hearing before before the court.
Okay.
The key to your argument is that the government put on the date of removal. She agreed to it, and you contend that's a judicial admission that should resolve the matter.
Yes,
right?
I believe that that admission should prevail, and that that is evidence that my client did in fact come and apply within the year. Later at the individual hearing, which was several months later, and on the day of the actual hearing, there is a substitution. And there is, within the CFRs, the ability of the trial attorney to substitute. However, there is nothing in the CFRs that say that the judge can set aside a finding, a previous finding that was made.
Is there anything that says he can't?
Right. Is there anything that says the judge can't change?
No, there is nothing that says the judge cannot change.
And in this particular case, let's just, for a moment, let's assume that it's a neutral point. But once the DHS changed its position, as I understand it from the record, your client did not come forward and say, no, that's wrong. Here's evidence of when I entered the United States.
No, that's incorrect, Your Honor. At the time on the hearing on November 4th, 2004, when the allegations were substituted and the charge was changed, my client objected to the change substitution.
Uh-huh.
She only conceded to the charge of removability. She did not admit to the factual allegation.
Okay, well, at the very least then, taking your position, but setting aside for a moment your position without authority that the IJ, in connection with the concession of removability, is somehow bound throughout the proceeding, regardless of the nature of what you're seeking, in this case asylum, under Ramadan versus Gonzalez, if you've got a mixed question of fact and law, and it certainly seems to be disputed facts here, we don't have jurisdiction there either, do we?
When you do have a question of mixed facts and law, you don't have jurisdiction. However, I believe in this instance, it's not a question of mixed facts and law. If what you're looking at is whether or not the judge had authorization
to... Okay, well, I understand your point there. You're saying, without authority, that the IJ is bound on a determination in connection with a concession of removability, that he's bound throughout the proceeding. I know of no authority for that position. Let's say, for example, that there is, and then your client, and the government changes its position on this, your client contests that. Then we've got a disputed fact, do we not?
Correct, Your Honor.
So we have a disputed fact under Ramadan. Aren't we deprived of jurisdiction on that basis?
On that basis, you would be deprived of jurisdiction.
So
if it is disputing fact and...
So
and
at law. Least with respect to asylum, it doesn't affect withholding of removal or
right.
CAT, of course, but with respect to asylum only, does your client agree that we don't have any jurisdiction to hear the asylum claim, either based upon the credibility or, frankly, more importantly, under the Ramadan case, you've got a mixed question of law and fact?
Your Honor, if we have a mixed question of fact and law, then we would not have jurisdiction over the asylum claim. That is correct.
How about the turning to the supplementary to the withholding of removal and the CAT claim? About how about her claim on the CAT claim and removal, withholding of removal, and the credibility findings?
With respect to the credibility finding, I think it's interesting that you have to look at both the BIA and the immigration judge, because within the BIA there is no specific finding of non-credibility. In fact, what the BIA has said, they didn't make a specific finding regarding credibility. It said no single concern would lead us to conclude that the respondent's story is untrue. So there is a conflict there, and that there is no specific finding of non-credibility. And I think that's one of the problems within this particular case, is that you have the trial court saying one thing, and they're not making specific findings of credibility, but they are talking about different instances where they choose not to believe the respondent, but they don't make a specific finding. They look at different instances. Neither does the BIA make a specific finding of credibility and are saying that there is nothing that concludes that the respondent's story is untrue.
Unless either of my colleagues has any other questions, Ms. Montoya's time has expired. So we thank you, and we'll now hear from the government.
Thank you.
I would like to make one suggestion. Oral argument is a time that you can put forth your best argument rather than just saying, I'll answer questions. You've missed the opportunity to make your best argument. So I would suggest in the future that you not use that technique.
Thank you, Your Honor.
Okay, we'll hear now from Ms. Murcia. Murcia, just so we can use our time wisely here, I believe that the petitioner has conceded that we have no jurisdiction on the asylum claim. So let's focus on the withholding of removal and the CAT claim, if we may.
Yes, Your Honor. As the petitioner has conceded that the court lacks jurisdiction to review the one-year asylum bar, the government's position here is that substantial evidence in the record supports the immigration judge's finding that the petitioner failed to establish eligibility for withholding of removal and protection under the Convention Against Torture. Under INA 242b4b, an administrative determination, then applicant has failed to carry his burden of establishing his asylum, withholding, or CAT eligibility may be judicially reversed only if his or her evidence was so compelling that no reasonable fact finder could fail to find that eligibility was established. Here, the immigration judge found that the petitioner was not credible on four basic fronts.
But counsel, in this case, The IJ's determination has to be supported by substantial evidence.
Yes.
As I read this record, you have an IJ that basically substituted his personal opinion about a number of matters, construing documents in a personal way that don't really say what he said they did. For example, with respect to the country report, he characterized that report as saying that the OLF was an organization composed wholly of terrorists, in effect. That's not what the report says. The report says that there is an element of that organization that is involved in that, but everybody isn't that way. Now, when you find that kind of thing repeatedly throughout here, isn't that evidence that the IJ did not make findings that were supported by substantial evidence?
Well, first of all, I would disagree with the court's characterization that the immigration judge was simply imposing his opinion. The petitioner here specifically testified that in her view that there was no, if you'll give me a second, I can find the exact testimony, but essentially that the that the OLF, the main purpose of the OLF was to live in peace, and they asked for their rights. And the she testified, the DHS counselor asked her, I asked you, is there a violent part? The petitioner specifically said they don't fight. And then she stated, our intention is to get peace through demonstration. We never had any war or fight with ammunition. In contrast, the government believes that that there's ample evidence in the record that essentially states the opposite. Even in evidence that the petitioner herself submitted, if I could refer.
Is there any evidence in the record that suggests that the petitioner herself was aware of or involved in any way with an armed element of the OLF? She's not a professor. She's not an expert in these things. She's a student who gets involved in a democracy movement or whatever that has a radical wing to it. It looks to me like what's happened here is that the IJ has fixed on what the country report refers to as an element that is armed, that does these things, and because she doesn't know a lot about that, he's tagged her with inconsistency.
Well,
is that substantial evidence?
Well, as I was going to refer to this, given that she was a member of the OLF and stated that she espoused the OLF's beliefs, and that was the reason that she was demonstrating, I was going to point out on pages 356 to 57 of the record, there is a document that she submitted that says the major OLF policies. And the major OLF policy is not simply that they are advocating for the rights of the Oromo minority. It specifically states that their major policy is armed struggle. The fact that she has only participated in demonstrations doesn't necessarily mean that she should, when she's specifically testifying that she is espousing the beliefs of the OLF and that she's supporting them, that she would not know one of the major policies of the OLF. And
isn't what the government's doing here is basically like administering an examination to determine what she knows about this organization? I mean, it's like if you're a member of the Sierra Club, does that mean that you're an enviro terrorist that believes in burning vehicles and burning houses that are in the woods? I don't think so. I mean, there may be elements of the environmental community that think that's appropriate, but just because you belong to Sierra Club doesn't mean you agree with that or even know about that, does it?
In this particular case, that finding was simply part of the immigration judge's finding that she wasn't aware of certain OLF policies that are major policies.
Let me ask this. Did he make other findings that have substantial support in the record about her credibility? He seemed to criticize her a lot for these documents you're referring to as these fanciful press releases.
Well,
did he evidence some strong bias against her position?
I would state, first of all, the petitioner never alleged that there were any bias against the immigration judge. And the government's position that I would state is both in the State Department and the country report, as well as the petitioner's own evidence, is that there is an element of armed struggle in the OLF policies. But as Your Honor points out, there's certainly, as this court's case law says, there's other credibility findings that certainly go to the heart of her claim. I would certainly state that her testimony in regards to the June 13, 2003 demonstration was inconsistent. During her affidavit, she essentially stated that she was She summed up the demonstration as if she was there. She stated that she had been arrested with four other students and that one of her close friends had been had disappeared while she was arrested. Meanwhile, in her testimony, she simply stated that she had been dropping off some papers when she was accidentally arrested by the police. I mean, two extraordinarily different accounts of the same demonstration. And this was went to the heart of her claim because this was essentially when she stated that she was arrested by the police by for supporting Roman policies, and the same date in which she stated that she was supposed to report to the police regarding the police summons, which, as Your Honor pointed out, there's also the corroboration that she submitted was enormously suspect.
What about these summons? The IJ made a big point about what he thought was a repeated misspelling of the word commission between the birth certificate and the summons. Have you looked at those documents?
Yes, I believe
you're aware that one was not misspelled.
I did drop a footnote in my brief, which did note that the birth certificate was not misspelled, and it was harmless error because he was essentially he was comparing the birth certificate with OLF membership card on the basis that they had the same photograph and her testimony.
Yeah, I remember that part. That's a separate issue.
And I did drop a footnote acknowledging that particular.
The government agree this is pretty thin.
No, Your Honor, we would not. I mean, on the
case,
on the I mean, essentially, the first of all, as I stated earlier, the court's the standard of review here is that it would be no reasonable fact finder would be compelled to reverse here, and essentially there.
But the IJ also has to provide substantial evidence, right? It's a two-way test. Petitioner has a burden. But the government also has a burden here. It has to provide substantial evidence.
But at the same time, the immigration judge does provide at least four bases here on which the court can find that there are inconsistencies or implausibilities that go to the heart of the petitioner's claim. So to sum up, since I am right here, as Your Honors acknowledged, the court lacks jurisdiction to review the asylum one-year bar, and the government believes that substantial evidence in the record supports the immigration judge's finding that the petitioner failed to establish eligibility for withholding of removal on CAT. Thank you.
Very good. Thank you, Ms. Garcia. The case of Alamu versus Holder is submitted.